We're also, just at the beginning now, going to hand out a copy of this Compass book that we've been working on. If you're part of a couple, please take one as a couple. If you have adult children, like people like Ethan, take your own. Here's the rule. If you're old enough to be serious about having your own quiet time, take your own book. Okay? Except if you're married, then please share. Is that okay? Well, we can live with that. So, all right, making sure everybody's got one. So, yeah, I figured you'd take at least a few seconds to scan through it. You wouldn't listen to what I said anyways, so that's what this moment is for. But I do want to walk you through it, so don't feel like you have to get the whole thing just by a quick scan. All right, I think we're good. Thank you, ushers, for helping us with that. You now have five different versions of this wholehearted material. And they're distinct, and they're distinct for a reason, and I want to walk you through them all and help you understand how we want to use this book and how it's designed for you. So, five different versions, and the most concise version of all this teaching is what we're calling our summary prayers. So if you go to page 10, you will have the first summary prayer, because the first banner is following. So this is the prayer of following. And what this does is each line of the prayer represents one of the five teachings of following. For example, the first thing we taught under following was that we are to be with Jesus as friends, and so the prayer says, as we walk together as friends in this new day. Okay? Page 12. What did I say? Yeah, don't listen to me. Thank you. So the second thing, you know, in being followers of Jesus was to be like Jesus in love. And so the second line, help me to demonstrate your generous love. And then the third thing that followers of Jesus do is they do the things that Jesus do. So teach me to create a safe space around my table. We've talked about that. May my life demonstrate the powerful presence of your kingdom, that we live distinctly kingdom lives. And they proclaim the gospel, help, may I be prepared to invite others to enter your kingdom. So this prayer in five sentences gives you all the main content of that first banner of following. Now, flip over to page 22, and I'm looking at my notes, I'm not guessing this time, it is page 22, and you have the prayer of discernment. The only thing I want you to notice here is that every prayer starts with Jesus as we walk together as friends through this new day. So everything we're talking about, whether it's mercy, being in community, everything is about our relationship with Jesus. That has to be first. The greatest commandment in Scripture is about how we love God. And so every one of these prayers start with that same thing. Under discernment, if you remember, the first thing was we discern through Scripture. So the next line in the prayer, guide me by your word. We discern through the Holy Spirit, so prompt me by your Spirit. We discern in circumstances, so open my eyes to see and my ears to hear. And then we discern in community, so grant me friends who can help me discern your voice. Again, that's a summary of the entire teaching on discernment. You can use these prayers during the week. And if you would make a regular practice of just praying maybe one of these prayers a week, the Holy Spirit may prompt you to go, you know, this one here, you need to think about a little bit more, and we'll talk about what you can do with that. For example, if the Holy Spirit said on the last line, grant me friends who can help me discern your voice, and you're going, boy, I'm not sure what that means. If you flip back a page now, or sorry, let me, I'm jumping ahead here. How are we going to use this? I mentioned how you might use it in your homes. How we're going to use this on Sunday mornings is we want to create a weekly liturgy. Very simple, but that each week we would read a scripture and one of these four prayers. So there are four prayers, one for each banner. We'll read one of these four prayers together out loud as the church, and we'll read the same one for a whole month. And so that will be in the background of what we're doing. We're not going to teach about it every week, but it's going to be part of our focus every week. So we will use these prayers as part of a liturgy. Now, the first Sunday of the month is communion in our practice. So I'm going to bring a communion meditation based on one of these banners each month. And then we'll use that to introduce the prayer for the month. Now, a weekly liturgy is something that's new for us, and so we thought, let's try this. So if you're willing, starting next week, which is the beginning of the month, we will try. And in the next 4 months, we'll go through the four banners with the four liturgies that we will create. And if we feel like this is working, this is great. If we feel like we may need to make some adjustments, we will. The point is simply, how can we make this a regular part of our worship? How can we keep this in front of ourselves as we meet together every week? So the prayer, that's the first version of the material. It is the most concise. You get everything in 5 sentences. The second version of the material is also designed to be really concise, but now it's the it's actually the compass material that's written. And if you turn back a page to page 20, you'll see discern through community. And on a single page, you have just the essential thoughts behind everything I taught about discerning in community. You have a little bit of a definition. You have one verse that kind of goes, okay, this is kind of where we are. And there's a little bit of a description of what this might look like. And this material is designed to be concise enough that you can ask yourself what is called the compass question, which is on the next page. And the compass question on page 21 is, who is your discerning community? Okay? Now, in your mind, you can either answer that question because you know who it is, or you can't because you don't know who it is. That's all this compass question is designed to do. It's simply to take a reading to say, do I have this in place in my life? And you either do or you don't. Or you may feel like, I think I do, but I'm not quite sure what this means. This is a new concept. And so you may want to do a little more digging. Up to this point, it's not designed to give you teaching. There's been no teaching up to this point. Simply taking a reading of the direction of your life. Now, at this point, if you're going, boy, do I have a discerning community? Do I know who that is? I want to dig into that a little bit more. Well, then you have a statement right below there where there's a website where it says to check your bearing, go to our website. And so, Brian, I'm going to ask you to switch over to our website at this point. And so under discerning, that link right there takes you directly to the page of discerning in community, because that's what this compass question is. Every compass question has a corresponding web page on our website. And as you go through this, now you're going, okay, what's the content? I want to review what discerning and community is all about. And so you will read through this as an individual, and there is some definition in there. There's some information about choosing the right community, because if you choose the wrong community and you're discerning with them, you're going to lose. The people you hang out with make a difference in your life. So there's a couple of scriptures there. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So who is the community that's shaping you is the first question. The second thing is, discussing things in community. And this is simply the wisdom of having the right people around you when you're looking for advice. And Proverbs teaches us that we should have the right people around. And then the third part is actually when you need to discern something spiritual, where there's a question about the direction of your life, how do you do that? Well, you've already decided we've got the right people. We've asked the good questions about logically, does this even make sense? But now there's the discerning process. And so the discerning process that's on there is the same discerning process that you have on page 20. So it introduces you to the same material. So now, when you're on a website, typically you're alone. Okay, typically, not always, but so this is designed for you. You're reading this. This is for your reflection as you go through the material. And if you go to the bottom of it, you'll see some questions for your own spiritual formation. Who are the people in your life that can either tempt you to conform to the patterns of this world, or number two, the people in your life that encourage you to be transformed into the renewing of your mind through Christ? And then is there, basically, how do you turn that into a discerning community? So that information is there for you as an individual. That's the third resource. The fourth one is, right at the bottom, there's a PDF that covers the same material that you can download for a Bible study format. So if you on your home group want to do the same study on this particular question, there's a PDF there that you can print out. The fifth and final resource is the sermon teachings. So for the last 6-7 months, we've been teaching this. I have and Nick has. And so every one of these landing pages has the sermon that corresponds to, in this case, discerning in community. So you have five different resources. Now, as you go through all of this, it's designed, compasses are only as good as the frequency with which you use them. Does that make sense? They're not any good if you don't actually take a bearing once in a while. So to find a way for you at home to just start with the prayer. Do you want to do the same prayer for a whole week? However you want to do it. On Sunday, we're going to do the same prayer for a whole month. And that's the piece that starts us on the journey to saying, I think I need to take a reading. But without the prayer, you honestly won't engage in the process. So we want to encourage you to begin with the prayer. Staying on course is part of what it means to follow Jesus. Following Christ is a decision that we need to make every day, not just on Sunday when we're here, but it's part of our rhythm to walk as friends with Jesus through the day. And so in Luke 9:23, Jesus said this, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." That word daily implies that Jesus is going to interrupt your life daily. He actually has something for you daily. Not just once a week, not just once a month, but that we're actually walking with him daily. And that's why the first line of every prayer is, as we walk through this day together as friends. And so this word daily is really important. So that's kind of how we plan to use the Compass Book over the next few months together. Why all this effort? Why in the world did I work on this so long? I have two reasons. The first one is COVID-19. When COVID hit 5 years ago, you will no doubt remember that it was a significant destabilizing force in the church in North America. Now, our church, we responded quite well, but I know you two have stories. There are a lot of churches that were struggling with conflict and even struggling to survive. A lot of churches got distracted by concentrating on the wrong things. And that destabilizing experience for the North American church, it caused a lot of pastors and church leaders of different kinds to ask, what in the world are we doing that the church is so unstable, that it's so fragile that a pandemic could be so disruptive? You know, the early church flourished and grew in a period where they were being persecuted and hunted and killed. And the modern church gets disrupted because of vaccines and masks. And you have to ask yourself, what is it about the church that made that church so resilient and that made the North American church so vulnerable? What is it that makes a church resilient? And we began to ask that question during that time. And I think one of the lessons of the pandemic was that the church can't get distracted. We can't focus on distracted things. We actually have to focus on the right things. And not just to focus on the right things, but one of the things that we learned as a church is that we have to actually equip for the right things. And so it was somewhere after we came back together that I led us through an experiment that we called equipping on Sunday morning. Let's do breakout groups. Let's talk together. Let's discuss things. Let's pray together. And that we agreed we would begin to explore the difference between teaching content and actually equipping for life change and for formation. And so we've been concentrating on, I think, the right things, and we've been equipping for the right things. And so you now have a compass to help you stay focused on the right things. And it's my conviction, it's my belief that if we had another COVID pandemic tomorrow, that you have everything you need to continue on your journey of being and of making wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. You have a resource that can keep you on track. If you led your neighbor to faith in Christ, you have everything you need to disciple them into a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. You could take this book, work them through it, and one lesson at a time, download the PDF version, so it's a Bible study that you could do together. You could turn anybody into a wholehearted follower of Christ. If we were never able to meet again as a church, this church is resilient. We have built in resiliency. We have a plan to build on. I wonder if you recognize, if you know the fact that the early church during those years of persecution and change, they, for the first 300 years, did not own any buildings or churches to gather together to meet. It was like a pandemic that spreads from house to house by infectious followers of Jesus who loved like Jesus loved and who did the things that Jesus did. And this was the greatest season of church growth in the history of the church. And it's my conviction, both from Scripture and from history, that wholehearted devotion makes us not only a resilient church, but that it will make us the viral church that our city needs. Because the church has been given a mission beyond ourselves. And the viral church is embedded in the community, and that's part of the mission. And it's so important that we are embedded in the community. But as I said last week, gathering on Sunday morning is also really important. It's also part of gathering together, I said, as a Sabbath community each week. It's part of what the compass directs us to. Sunday gatherings are important. And that leads me to the topic of our future facilities. How in the world do these two topics come together? How do our future facilities fit into this vision? Our elders met last month and put together a facility transition team, and that team met for the first time this week. And the elders intentionally said, let's start very small. We're just going to ask our pastor, me, and two other people, Ralph Gower and Daryl Schmidt sitting there. And so we met for the first time this week. And on the one hand, we go, you know, we've got 4 years left. On the other hand, we're going, we don't want to miss any opportunity that the Lord gives us. And so let's be ready now. If the Lord gave us an opportunity this week, would we be ready? Are our eyes open? Is our posture one of receiving? And so we would probably prefer sooner rather than later. That would be my preference. Our setup team would probably prefer sooner rather than later. That would be their preference. But we're getting started. And we plan to add people. The elders have said, listen, this is yours. You add people as you see fit. Different opportunities, I think, will come up, which will require different skill sets. And we have a number of skill sets in our church. And so this is not the whole team. This is just the first iteration of the team that was asked to come together. And this team can expand at any time that they feel that they need to. But we wanted to meet small first and start talking about what is the mandate, actually? What is it that we're actually doing? Is it just let's find another building, or is it somehow connected to the things God is doing here? And so at our first meeting, we talked about the fact that God has created a unique congregation here at Mountain Park, that He's built something special and is building something special in this congregation, and we believe it's for a purpose. I think it was Daryl who used the phrase or the word positioned, that the Lord is positioning us for something. And that there is this sense of what does God have next? This sense of spiritual anticipation. I would even call it a prophetic anticipation. That's from the Lord that says, I've got something for you. You need to be ready. And so one of the first things we talked about, one of the first values that we agreed on was to protect the unity and the integrity of what God is creating in this congregation. We recognize that we have deep relationships. We're growing deep in formation. And we have a vision to see people come to know Jesus. Unity, theology, and mission together have positioned us for something new. And so we talked about how important it is that we all do this together. This is not the kind of move where we go, well, we have to find a new building and I hope people come. This is a calling. And that in our work, we recognize that God has called us as a church. He's prepared us. He's positioned us. So as we wrap up in a few minutes this morning, we're going to take some time to pray about that future, about both the integrity of what God is building here and just that sense of anticipation and unity as we move forward together. Now, I said there were two reasons that we have this Compass book, and I said the first was sparked because of the COVID pandemic and the need for resiliency. The second reason started in me long before the pandemic ever came. In fact, it was a work that God was doing in me long before I came to Mountain Park. And so this second part I want to share to you as a personal testimony. This is what drives me. And if you sometimes wonder why Norm can't let this thing go, which is fair, then please hear me out. My life verse is 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I have that written on the top of my whiteboard so that I see it every day in my office. Notice what it says. Careful perseverance in your life and your doctrine will save both yourself and other people. And so to me, perseverance in careful doctrine leads to mission. Perseverance in careful doctrine leads to mission. Prior to serving at Mountain Park, I was responsible for leading international missions for a Baptist denomination that was binational both in Canada and the United States. And it was my responsibility to bring both strategic and biblically sound leadership to our daughter, if you could call it that, daughter Baptist denominations in other countries that we've been working with for decades, places like Cameroon and Japan and Brazil, and then at the same time to establish new mission strategies in new countries. And so one of those was Hungary. And one of the things you learn very quickly if you travel to other countries, this is a really obvious statement, is that they are not the same. Okay? Big learning there, right? What's interesting is that not only the countries and the cultures are not the same, but the church is not the same. And that the things that we do here that are a regular part of our church do not have a direct translation to the church in Japan. It just doesn't work that way. And the things that the church does in Japan, you cannot just take them and translate them to Brazil. That every church is embedded in culture. And again, that concept is probably fairly easy to understand. The stuff that's a little harder to grasp is the fact that each culture has its unique way of distorting the church, and it's very subtle. Every culture tends to impact the church in subtle ways that take it off of the things that they're supposed to concentrate on. Every culture faces this, and I would suggest every culture tends to be blind to how it's happening in their culture. What's interesting is when you travel, you can see it in other cultures, but you can't see it in yours. So for me to lead with a consistent, biblically sound strategy across all cultures, I was forced to dig into a deeper understanding of the church beyond any individual culture, if that makes sense. I was forced to think about the core biblical teachings that transcend culture. And so I had to ask, what are those things that, from a biblical point of view, should be consistent no matter where in the world that you go? It's an interesting question to grapple with. And so, because this was part of my job, I had to dive into this fairly deeply, and I began to arrive at a framework of the church that could be effective anywhere in the world. Now, at the same time I was doing this work, I was also responsible for leading church planting within North America for our denomination. And so I started thinking that the way we plant churches in North America should be able to benefit from this same foundation. Because the truth is, in North America, we too are blind to how our own culture is shaping our experience of the church. It's hard for us to see. And so my thinking was, let's take some of that work from the international setting that transcends culture and let's apply it to North American church planting. And so we hosted a leadership summit in Kananaskis for a few days. We had our denominational executives with us, We had our regional leaders with us. We had church planting partners with us. And I was going to talk about the core essentials of the church. I hope that concept makes sense to you and gives you hope. What I found was that it was a futile discussion. And it was a really pragmatic reason that it was a futile discussion. You know how I've been talking about home groups for the last number of weeks being both formational and missional here in our setting. And many of you have said, hey, I'm not sure I get this. Can you tell me how it works? Can you give us an example? Does this ministry count? Does that count? Is this? And they're all good questions because I'm talking about a new paradigm and it's hard to grasp a new paradigm, isn't it? And so I'm thankful for the questions because I think we're grappling with the right issues. These are good and right questions. But it takes time to absorb a new paradigm. You can't do it quickly. Well, I had 2 days. 2 days not only to bring a new paradigm to denominational executives and regional leaders, but 2 days to make it clear enough for them that they could take that whole paradigm and bring it into their regions and train pastors. And that they would be clear enough that those pastors could take that new paradigm and take it into their churches and shape the making of disciples. I was 3 organizational levels away from the actual disciple-making process, and I couldn't even get the paradigm into the first level. And I came to the conclusion that you cannot make disciples from an executive office. And that's one of the reasons Melissa and I left that position. Because I really want to make disciples. I believe that's what we're called to. I want to make good disciples. I want to make effective, wholehearted disciples. I want to see a church that will persevere in careful doctrine. That's not limited to the constructs that our North American culture presses on us. Because my time in international missions and church planting, it pushed me into a new paradigm. And once you're in that new paradigm, you can't go back. And so I keep pressing. I keep persevering because I know this is right. When I was candidating here 6.5 years ago now, I mean, it was right here. I think it was after the service. I preached on whatever it was I was going to preach on, and we had just kind of an open forum discussion, and someone, I honestly don't know who, someone asked a question. And the question was asked that if I came, if I was called, will the church grow? No pressure. But you have to think North American church paradigm of growing. What is that? What were they thinking when they asked that question? North American church paradigm for growing is increase in our Sunday attendance and the faster the better, right? I understand this paradigm. I grew up in BC. I grew up with the paradigm. I just don't support it anymore. So my response was, I said, I really don't want to focus on growth. Think North American paradigm, Sunday attendance going up. I don't want to focus on growth, but rather I want to focus on making fully committed disciples. The essentials paradigm. You see the difference? Follow-up question. But if we do that, we'll grow, right? North American paradigm. Again, it takes a long time to change paradigms. It makes total sense. And so my response was, the problem with focusing on growth is that it takes your eyes off of the priority of actually making disciples. Do you realize that you can grow North American church without making disciples? And so I said, I would prefer to concentrate on the important teachings and, as Timothy says, persevere in sound doctrine. That will get us where we want to go. Third time. But if we make disciples, we'll grow, right? Now, he may not have realized this, but he phrased the question correctly the third time. If we make disciples, we will grow, right? And so I said, yes, if we're making fully committed disciples. The whole reason of a disciple is to make other disciples. That's what Jesus told his disciples to do, to go and make disciples. So yes, if we're making disciples, it will take time, but we will grow. It will take time, but we will grow. We've been investing in this paradigm for 6.5 years. We don't see the growth yet, but I believe we are positioned for it. We have put 6 years into being serious about being wholehearted followers of Christ. This is the model of Scripture, so this is where I believe our growth will come from. I see us thinking more about people outside the church than we did 6 years ago. I see us praying more for them. I see us asking more questions about what does this mean for my life group or men's group or ladies' Bible study or for the ginger bill this afternoon. There's 8 families coming to the ginger bill this afternoon, and half of them are not families from the church. Half of them, or at least a quarter of them, are neighborhood people that people invited. I'm going, we're getting there. It's coming. The invitations are happening. This is what leads to the fruit of making new wholehearted disciples. So it's coming. I believe we're positioned. And we were praying the other day about, God, where in the world do you want us? Where in the city do you want us? And how does that lead to us being embedded in that community, wherever that is? So that's the second reason we have this compass book. To persevere in the right things, to not let them go. This compass book will help us set our course on what is essential in sound doctrine that leads to people coming to Christ. So we have this compass. We've been persevering for 6 years, and now we're positioned. And I actually can't wait for what's next. That's why I'm going, I want to see this new location sooner rather than later, because I think we're ready. I feel like God has done this work, and there is a sense in me, again, I'm no prophet, but that God's ready to do something, that the hard work, the perseverance has been done, we're asking the right questions, and now may God give the fruit. Today is, you may know this, Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday is the last Sunday of the liturgical calendar. The first Sunday of Advent next week is the first Sunday of the liturgical calendar. So we bring this year to a close with what I want to make a call to prayer for persevering in sound doctrine and in praying that God would position us in the city wherever he wants us to be. Prayer of persevering in sound doctrine so that people would come to know Jesus Christ and the provision of where he would place us to embed us more firmly in this community. They go hand in hand. Both are really important. And so as we bring this series to a close, as we bring this liturgical calendar year to a close, I'm going to ask that we just, small groups, couples, whoever, but just turn with a few others and take some time to pray that God would continue this work and bring us to the place that he wants us to be. Let's take some time to pray. Friends, we are God's kingdom people. May Christ be magnified in us and through us. Amen.